Ecclesiastes 2 on Through the Word. Back to the lab. We dive back in to Solomon's grand experiment to answer the question, what do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? We are on step 2 of Solomon's little science project. Step 1 was the pursuit of knowledge and wisdom. Solomon came up empty, chasing the wind. Step 2 begins in chapter 2, verse 1. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. So we move from knowledge to pleasure, intellectualism to hedonism. Live for the feeling, baby, like the promising college student who drops out of school, because what's the point anyway? Let's party. Solomon's conclusion is back in verse 1. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? Strike 2. Remember, Solomon is looking for gain, something with substance that lasts. And while laughter is fun, when pursued for its own sake, it doesn't satisfy. So Solomon digs in, adding some wine to the mix to spice it up. And he says, embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. But the big party leaves him feeling emptier still. There's another variable in this mix that makes Solomon test all the more pressing. Time. Back in verse 3, I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. Solomon is keenly aware that time is his one resource that never gets replenished, and he wants to use it well. But with pleasure offering no gain, it's time to move on to test number 3, success. Our college dropout picks up, leaves the party, and heads to work. From enjoyment to employment, from hedonism to materialism. Verse 4, I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself, and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers, and a harem as well, the delights of a man's heart. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. Wow, Solomon went for the gold ring and grabbed it. Wealth and success is an understatement. Solomon's treasure is legendary, his works and accomplishments astounding. He had power, success, wealth, women. Now, mind you, God warned Solomon against many of these things. But Solomon's word choice here reveals the callous state of his heart. I acquired singers and a harem, the delights of a man's heart. Solomon shows no human feeling for the women of his harem, just things to be acquired, to delight his own heart. The road to riches is a self-seeking one, where people become pawns and servants become slaves. To be clear, God does not endorse any of this. But Solomon is pursuing the world for all it's got. Verse 10, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. That's the heart of it. He denied himself nothing. Never said no to his flesh. Living the dream. So, did it work? My heart took delight in all of my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Pause there. There was a reward. It felt good. His heart delighted. Success and riches? Yeah, they'll fill your sails. But hold on. Verse 11. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Strike 3. All that wealth, all that success filled the sails for a moment, then nothing. Chase the wind all you want. You'll never keep it. Now remember, bad dates and dead monkeys. That's what this is. Sala is pointing at the monkey for you and telling you, don't eat the same dates. Just look around. We're surrounded by dead monkeys. The whole world chases fame and fortune, and we all follow the stories of the rich and famous as they crash and burn again and again. How many behind-the-music tragedies do we need to watch to convince us that the fable doesn't work? How many child stars will spiral into addiction and destruction before we want something better for our own kids? Why on earth do we still want what they have? How many dead monkeys do we need to see? But we fool ourselves. I can eat those dates. If I was rich and famous, I'd enjoy it. When will we learn? Back in the 60s, youth rejected their parents' work ethic and pursued new ideas and new philosophy. But as the drug-fueled philosophizing fizzled out, the 70s turned to pure hedonism, disco, drugs, and all the flesh could ask for. Left empty again, the yuppies took hold of the 80s to pursue wealth and success, privilege and power. And the beat goes on, and the cycle goes round and round. 1 John sums up the temptations of sin with these three: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Or you could say, pleasure, success, knowledge, and none will ever satisfy. So with three strikes, Solomon goes back to the first option and turns his thoughts again to consider wisdom. In verse 13, I saw that wisdom is better than folly, just as light is better than darkness. So wisdom is good. Live wisely. It helps. 14. The wise have eyes in their head, while the fool walks in darkness. But I came to realize that the same fate overtakes them both. In other words, the wise man lives a better life, to be sure. But in the end, verse 15, then I said to myself, the fate of the fool will overtake me also. What then do I gain by being wise? I said to myself, this too is meaningless, for the wise, like the fool, will not be long remembered. The days have already come when both have been forgotten. Like the fool, the wise man too must die. And here, the final variable enters the equation: death. It all ends. When the game of life is over, all the money and accomplishments go back in the box. Nothing gained. Verse 17. So I hated life, because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish? Yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil, into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a person may labor with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then they must leave all they own to another who has not toiled for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless. After his lament, Solomon steps back and comes up with the best idea left to him. Verse 24, a person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This too, I see, is from the hand of God, for without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? And with that, Solomon finally scratches the surface of the real answer. Stop grasping the wind to catch it, and just enjoy it as it passes. Leave the pursuit of all that is never enough, and live contented. And notice, when all else comes up empty, Solomon finally turns to the hand of God. Without him, it's all empty. This world was not created to fill the void, but God's creation is good, and life was meant to be enjoyed. Listen, bad dates are killing the people around you, and I don't mean dinner and a movie. Whatever is tempting you, pleasure, success, lust, power, whatever, just look down the road a piece. Does it work out? Do the monkeys survive? Whoever tries to keep his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for Jesus' sake will find it. Or as Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Jim Elliot left his life in America and all that he knew to reach the Auca Indians in Ecuador with the gospel. He and four companions were killed in the effort. Yet he left us these words, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." However, I don't think Solomon gets that just yet. And chapter 2 ends again, chasing the wind.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.